Joshua and Marta were last with us in 2017. Boy, that's hard to believe. It's been 8 years since you were last here. And this is a gifted couple. The Lord has used them in a powerful way in Barcelona. I don't think there's a musical instrument that Josh can't play. And there is one.
Well, yeah.
The saw?
Yeah. Actually, well.
Okay. He does play the saw. Well, right.
I did buy a saw to try it.
Yeah. There you go. But we love this family. We appreciate so much their ministry in Spain. And so, Brother Josh, would you come and teach us from your word?
It is wonderful to be back here again with you. I was trying to think. 8 years, that has gone by very, very quickly. I don't know, it's, you tell me, as you get older, time just seems to shrink, doesn't it? It just, you know, when you're younger, 2 weeks is a very long time, and now it's like, really, 3 years have gone by. So we're very, very happy to be here again. This is a special church for us because, you know, many people think that because my parents are missionaries and they have many contacts, that we have the same contacts here in the States, but we don't. And when we joined our mission board, they said, you need a ascending church, right? And we thought, well, our church in Spain is, you know, our ascending church. And they said, no, you need an American church to be your ascending church to the church that you're at. Okay, you know, those, it's, you know, policies and things like that. Who was church number one we thought of to be our sending church? It was this church. And the reason for that is we felt so at home when we came in 2017. It was like being at our church, right? So it was interesting because I remember when we came in 2017, something very funny happened, and it was in your bulletin. I'm not sure if Pastor Todd remembers or not, but I was going to speak, and we were going to do the concert, and it said, Missionary Josh Valcarcel. I wasn't a missionary, right? But it said, Missionary Josh Valcarcel. I was just pastor in our church. So it was funny to me that it said missionary, that, you know, I wasn't officially a missionary. So you guys called it. You guys called it. Before, amen. Right? So, it's been one of those journeys. You know how Pastor Todd was just saying about that building? He was praying for 25 years. What are we going to do with this building? And God's timing is always perfect. You sometimes try to rush things and they don't go well. You sometimes dawdle, and that doesn't go well either, right? You have to wait until it's God's timing to do those things that you need to do. So we've been in Spain. I've lived in Spain my entire life. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but my parents were missionaries to Spain from 1973 approximately until about 10 years ago, 2012, yeah. They were missionaries there in Spain. So I was actually born in Michigan, but I was taken to Spain when I was 7 days old, right? So I was raised there. I wasn't, you know, I sound like an American. I look like one too, right? It sounds like a happy birthday song, the monkey and you look like one too. By the way, brother, happy birthday. That's 91 years old. That's great. It was my wife's birthday yesterday too. So you share the same birthday as well. And her grandmother is actually 98 and she comes to our church as well. So, and she has no plans on dying anytime soon. So she's hilarious. She is super active with her phone. She just got a Kindle and reads books on it. And she's got an iPad and does all sorts of trouble with that. But happy birthday to you, sir. That's wonderful. And so my parents were missionaries in Spain for many, many years. And I grew up in Spain, right? So I've actually got dual citizenship. And it was always my desire to help my dad be in the church in Barcelona, in the city where he was. And so when I went to Bible college, that was always my desire, you know, help my dad. That I, you know, I'm going to be the I think it's called second fiddle, right? I want him to be in charge, and I'll be there, you know, behind him working and stuff like. And I always imagined sort of like a Moses and Joshua kind of thing, you know. And so when we went back, my dad's like, "Hey, you're back. I'm leaving." So basically, it took him about 2 years. I always say that it wasn't planned. It was not planned. It was sort of like my plans were taken away quite quickly, right? Because my dad said, "Well, now that you're here, I'm leaving." And I thought, but all this that I've been planning for, you know, and wanting to be with you, and it all just disappeared. And so my dad left me and another young man as pastors of the church. And then in 2017, we came here. We had a small group of people coming to our house, right? And we were doing Bible studies there. We live about 40 minutes away from the church. And so it seemed like God was opening a door for us to start a new church, right? With those people that were coming to our home. And it seemed like that's the way we're going, you know. And so we started making plans. I started making plans for a Bible club, you know, and coming here and hearing about Aunt Carolyn. And that all got me excited. I bought stuff from Abeka, you know, big visual cards to do a Bible club. When we went back, the other pastor said, what did he say? Say it with me. Come on. I'm leaving. So again, all the plans, right, that you prepare for, God said, I've got something else. And it's amazing because it always works out better, right? And at that moment, you don't think so, right? At that moment, it seems like, hey, why did you have me planning all this? Then it works out, and it's much better. The church has started growing. And it's been wonderful, to be honest. It's just, you know, obviously it's better because it's what God wants, right? But that is a little bit of the trajectory of what has happened, right? It's not that I've been wanting it. In fact, I was trying to find ways of, you know, getting out of it. But God has said, no, I want you here. I want you here. And the church has grown to about 60, 70 people coming on a Sunday. And I work full-time as an English teacher, right? And I do, in the mornings, I go to high schools and I give them talks about English language or American or English culture. And they hire me to go to high schools and I do these presentations. And so between that and my regular English teaching job in the afternoon, I just didn't have much time. And the church really needs for me to have time. that's the truth of it. We have men that need training. We've got a bunch of young people. We could use more counseling. We can do many, many other things that right now I just don't have the physical time for. So thinking about it, we thought, well, what can we do? And so we've always been a little bit, how should I say this? Reticent, yeah? About being missionaries, yeah? And I'll tell you the reason why. It's been difficult for us to accept money to do what we were already doing. Does that make sense? Yeah? So I always thought, no, I'm going to work and be able to provide for my family and do the work that God has called me to do. And also, we've seen some examples of some missionaries, as you can imagine, that weren't very wise in their use of funds, right? And so that made me, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And last November, I had a change of heart and mind, and the Lord said, look, this is the way that you can do more in the church. And we said, well, we'll start knocking on doors, right? We'll start seeing what the Lord does. And we started talking with a couple of mission boards and Heartland Baptist mission here in Pensacola with Brother Olivier and Bob Taylor. You might know him, I'm not sure. But they accepted us into their mission board, which was kind of a surprise as well, because it went all quite a bit faster than what we expected. So we saw the Lord opening up the doors for us to be able to do missions work. But again, we're going to do it part-time. I'm going to keep on working as an English teacher during the mornings, doing my talks to the young people. And then in the afternoons, we've already told the schools we're not going back. So that's already taken care of. And we're going to see what the Lord does from here on. So that's a little bit of the backdrop of where we are right now. The church is going well. It's growing. We have people from all over, especially South America. We have a bunch of Peruvians. In fact, our nickname is the Peruvian Church in Barcelona, the Bible Church in Barcelona. We celebrate the Peruvian independence of Spain, in Spain. So you can imagine how well that goes. But no, we decorate the church. We have Peruvian food. It's great. They're doing that next week in our church. So we've got a bunch of Peruvians. And so it's a blessing. And then we also have the camp. The camp ministry is a ministry that we love and that we're involved in during the whole year. But let me just share with you the story of how we got the camp. I'm not sure if you know, but we have a beautiful camp. It is really, really nice. You have to come, okay? I mean, the door is open for you. Brother, you're 91, so you got to come real quick, okay? So it's, yeah. But we had a lady in our church in Barcelona. She was a widow. She had no children, and she had a very small piece of land in Barcelona. And when I say very small, I'm not talking very small American standards. I'm talking very small Spanish standards. I would say maybe it's like this this area here. Yeah. So she had a small little house on there, and she wanted to donate that to the church. And my dad was like, "What are we going to do with that? I mean, that's just not. We're not going to be able to sell that for much money. And, you know, maybe somebody else needs it." He was, you know, just trying to be nice. And she said, no, I want to give it to the church. So in the end, my dad, who was the pastor at that time, he finally accepted. But the land just stayed there for a few years. Again, right, waiting to see what's going to happen. Because God has a purpose and a plan. And God will make something happen. And you know what he made happen? You're never going to guess. The Barcelona Olympics. You remember 1992? Right? You were 27, brother? More or less? Okay. 1992, well, they announced it in 1986 or something like that, or 1988. And so what happened was that Barcelona, when they got the news, all the property values, they shot up. They went skyrocketed. And on top of that, there was this man who wanted to build a parking garage right next to the property that we had. So he offered us even more money for that dinky little plot of land. And with the amount that we got from that, we were able to buy the entire camp and had money left over for some renovations. That was way back when, in 1995, okay? And the camp has been going strong ever since. We have usually one, two, three camps, more or less, two or three camps a year that are ours. And then what we do is we rent it out to churches that, how do I say this? we've had issues in the past with some churches, and so now we ask them to more or less agree with our theological standards, because we don't want crazy people there, right? So this is God's house and God's place, and we don't want, you know, things going, we don't agree 100% with everything, but in the general spectrum of things, if you understand what I'm saying, right? We don't want any charismatics or anything like that going on in there. So why do we do that? Well, I know that in your thinking, a camp has staff. Well, our staff is me and our deacon in our church. That's it. We've got a bunch of volunteers. We've got people that comes and help. But it's not like a camp here that you have people that live there. You know, that would be wonderful if somebody did that, right? But we don't have the resources. If I told you what our yearly budget is for camp, you would laugh, okay? Because basically we make enough from the rentals to be able to invest into what needs to be paid, the electrical bills and the... right now we don't have water because we don't have running water from the city. We have to get it from a spring. and we have to, yeah, just listen to this. It's a spring. It gets the snow that's melting from the mountains, which is really nice. It sounds really nice. But if there's no snow, that means we don't have any water. Okay? So we're praying that the Lord will help us with all the red tape that there is for us to be able to get running water at camp. We've been with this project for a very long time. Basically, our camp right now is not considered a camp. And so we have to, it's considered a big a house, basically. And they're allowing us to do camps while we get all the paperwork and all the, now you're with all the, what's it called? The permissions and the, you know, with the government, they have everything that they need, you need to have done. So now we're going through that same thing in our camp. So we've already got several things that we know we need to do. Like, for example, we've got to renovate the entire electrical system because the wires that are there are ancient. I mean, really, really old. Just so you have an idea, the main house of our camp was built 1 year after the Declaration of Independence. So our main house is from 1777, right? So that's why we need to change the electrical system. That's No. The electrical system was put in afterwards, but it's still very, very old, yeah? In fact, in wintertime, it gets really cold because the walls are big stone walls. They're about this thick. It gets cold in winter. It gets really, really cold. But the problem is if you put a couple of heaters in, the whole lighting thing goes off, right? So, it's not fun, but, that's why we don't have many camps in the winter. But, thankfully a couple of years ago, we were able to renovate the swimming pool, which was causing damage to the main part of the house because it was leaking. The swimming pool. Okay, so I'll go back. The house was an old mill, right? And so the mill would get water from the creek and it would put it into this big pool area, right? And that's where the mill would get to move the big milling stones. By the way, you'll see in the video later on, the name of the camp is Ebenezer. And you'll see in the first shot of Ebenezer, you'll see a big round stone. That's one of the two millstones of the original house. The other one we have set up as a table. Yeah, but the pool was actually the original part to move the water into there. So it was a pool that was built onto something, and then built onto something. And so last three years ago, we had this big renovating project, right? Of updating the pool and all the tubing and all the lining and all that fun stuff, yeah? But just so you see how God works, we wanted to do most of the work ourselves, but we're not trained professionals. Like many of you men, you know how to handle tools, right? You can give me a drill. I'm good with a drill. But for the pool, you can imagine that was a big project. And we had to rent some backhoes and some dump trucks. And we'd never driven these things in our lives, right? And so first off, we were excited. Because as grown men, having to drive dump trucks and backhoes and all that fun stuff, we were really excited. But we had a problem. And the big well, so imagine if I turn this around like this, okay? So the pool, the deep end of the pool is on this side, right? So you can imagine it sloping downward like this. And the house sits right over here. So we were having leakage problems with the pool, but we didn't know where it was coming from. And so this big wall here, we asked a brother to chip off the paint that was from many years of buildup. They would paint on top of it and stuff. So they gave him like this little pick kind of thing to chip off the paint. He didn't understand his instructions, and he went full, I'm not sure what you would say, but just he went and hit the wall with all his might. Boom! He hit the wall. And it was a good thing that he did that. Again, Lord's provision, because when he hit the wall, it was like we were back on the road to Canaan because water sprung from the wall. And, of course, everybody stopped and looked at the hole and just water coming out of the wall. And we were like, that's, you know, we're not professionals, but that's not good, right? That means that behind this wall, there's a water buildup, right? So if it hadn't been for that brother that misunderstood his job, we would have never found that there was water behind all of that. And we would have tapered that up, and that would have been a worse problem later on down the road. So we had to open up the entire wall. We started calling it the wailing wall, right? Because it was horrible. What we thought was going to take us about 4 or 5 days went on for a long time. But anyway, we got those machines in, and we were all excited because we were going to be able to drive these machines, but we had one day to do a bunch of work, and none of us had ever driven any of these machines before. So we were looking on YouTube, you know, to see how to drive these machines, right? Because they didn't come with manuals. They just dropped them off in our site, and so we were like, we really need to read up on this before we start, and we're having breakfast, right? We were 6 or 7 guys there at camp. And the door to the camp, to the living area, it opens up. And this brother, who I hadn't seen in maybe 12, 14 years, he walks in and I say, Cesar, what are you doing here? He said, well, I got a WhatsApp from another brother who said that you guys were going to be working here. And I thought I would just pop in. I mean, 12 or 14 years, yeah? And we said, well, that's great. You know, extra pair of hands, you know, And we said, what do you do? What's your specialty? He says, say it with me, heavy machinery. So again, the Lord works in such incredible ways, right? And you can plan, and you need to look at the YouTube tutorial, but God is saying, this is bigger than YouTube, okay? So I'm going to send someone there to help you guys out. And that's and we were able to do it, and it was wonderful. Because just everybody pitching in, just like what's happening here with the building. So that's wonderful. One of the things I wanted to mention is evangelism. Because as you can imagine, evangelism in Spain is difficult. Not difficult because the gospel is not effective. The gospel is always effective, right? But the people are people that don't want to hear. They are atheists. Yeah? In fact, in doing our research for coming, we found out that in Barcelona, 70% of people declare themselves to be atheist. Yeah? And they're very, how should I say this? They will be vocal against you giving them a gospel tract or trying to witness to them. So we find that we have to tell them, right? But we'll be careful in the way that we're going to present it. We'll maybe with our life. We are going to show them who we are, and they will come to know that we are Christians by the way that we live our life, right? And so one of the things that we've found to be very, very effective is this. This is a calendar. It's a calendar that I design every year. We take a picture of our church family, and then I write what the calendar is about. So every year I sit down and I think, well, what topic are we going to do this year? So this year it's called Hope in the Psalms. And so each day of each month, we have a verse from the Psalms. And then I have this explanation, or it's basically a gospel invitation each month. And then here you have our church information. In the back, you have a map with you know, an invitation to come and a QR code with how to get there and things like that. So how do you think people react to this? I'll tell you, they love it. They love it. The first year we printed 1,000 of these, and last year we printed 2,000. And we hand them out in about 4 hours, 2,000. You know why? Because you give a person this and say, hey, it's a free calendar. And nobody says no to a free calendar. Some people do, but most people, they say, oh, that is beautiful. They start looking at it. They're like, wow, that is so nice. Can I have one for my daughter? Can I have one for my neighbor? And you're like, sure, do my job for me, right? And we call this our 12-month track, because it's hanging in people's houses during the entire year. And they remember. Now, you might be asking, well, how many people have come to church because of this track in 5 years that we've been doing this calendar? How many do you think? None. Zero. But do you think that's going to stop me from doing it? No. I told another congregation the other day, it came to my mind. Sometimes we look for fruits, right? We look for fruits. We want people to react. We want people to come to Christ because of something we've done, right? But God doesn't call us to fruits. God doesn't say, you know, if you don't have so many, then it's not good. God has called us to be, another F word, faithful. Yeah? Faithful. And if we're not faithful, then is when, you know, God is going to say, you weren't faithful. So we're going to be faithful. We're going to keep on. And whether we see fruits or not, we're going to keep on being faithful. And that's the important part. So it doesn't deter me. I mean, I would like to see somebody come, right? But that's a selfish, personal level, yeah? To see that God is using it. Now, can God use it? Of course. Will God use it? To His glory, whenever He wants to, yeah? So we'll just keep on being faithful with what He puts in our hands to do, yeah? So if you have any ideas for a new calendar for this 2025, 2026 that we're coming up on, I'll be more than happy to get any ideas. So we've done creation in the Bible, for example, science in the Bible. And I got verses that have proved scientific things later on, right? So it's been really, really good to be able to do that. And so we've got a couple of these calendars in our table. And so if you would like to just look at the, don't take them home, because we've only got two, okay? But this is our big evangelism push, because tracks, they work on a personal level, right? But not massively in our experience anyway. And again, God can do whatever He wants. So we've got tracks in church, but we've seen this to be much more accepted. And I love that it's there the entire year. Yeah. So we tried to do it. And the wonderful thing is that because I designed this, other churches have seen it. And basically I design ours, and then I take the same design and I apply it for around 8 to 10 other churches every year. So the design that I do for our church is also taken for other churches in Spain. And so then I design it, I print it, and I send it to their church for them to use. So God uses that design not just in our church, but for other churches in Spain. And this year, around 15,000 calendars have been handed out in Spain with this design. So that's something that the Lord also uses, and I'm very happy to be a part of it as well. We obviously change all the information down at the bottom with their information. Sometimes they don't want to put their church family; they put a picture of something else here. So that's fun for me to do there in the month of November, December, to have them ready at the end of December for them to hand out. So we've actually got one brother; he does 2,500. Because he lives in an area that has small villages around, and he goes door to door handing 2,500 of these out, which is really, really great. So another fun anecdote is when I wanted to go print these, printing calendars was super expensive. And so I thought, there's got to be a cheaper way. I'm a cheap guy. Okay, I always try to find cheap things. So I was saying, there's got to be a way for me to print this cheaper. And so I was thinking about how can I make this calendar cheaper? And so what I found out is if you look for, instead of calendar, you look for catalog and you print it as a catalog. And what I do is I design it like this. It would be hard to design it like this, but I design it like this, but then I flip everything around and I print a 28-page catalog with saddle stitch on the side. And this brings it to about half the price than a regular calendar would be. So that is that's another interesting tidbit there. So I think we have maybe about 5 minutes. If you have any questions, Marta, you wanted to say something. My wife, Marta, is back there, sorry. And my son, Josh, is there too. So exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you see that there's a little hole there to be able to hang up the calendar. So because I do a catalog instead of a calendar, it doesn't have a hole, right? And so the kids in our church, they fight over who gets to do the holes, right? And it was funny because this year, I had some free hours. And so at home, they arrived to my home. I took some boxes up and I started doing them. And I did, maybe we had 12 boxes. I did maybe 6 of them. When I took them to church, the kids were angry with me. They were like, who did the holes here? You know, we were supposed to do the holes, you know. Sorry, didn't tell them it was me. But but they love it because they go into a, you call it a chain, and they start, you know, putting the catalog in, and one puts it in, and the other one, they do the whole thing. So we've got a hole puncher in there. We've actually broken one hole puncher already and had a brother fix that hole puncher. So it's a good thing. But again, evangelism is this way. Yeah, this is, it's a daily routine thing with the people that are around us. Yeah. And again, the Lord works in ways that we cannot even fathom. Right. And I will tell you one more testimony of this year. So we've got a young man who, his parents are Christians. His dad is one of the leaders in another small church near the camp. And his son has heard the gospel many times, but he's decided to go to the world, right? But we've kept contact with him. And he came last year, was it? 2020. Yeah, when we invited him. Okay, so we invited him and his then girlfriend to come to church. They didn't come to church. They came for a meal with us during COVID times and everything like that. And so when we had this conversation and we asked this young lady, we said, do you have a Bible? And she said, no, I don't. And so we got her address and we sent her one through Amazon, right? We sent it to her house. And so fast forward a couple of months, they broke up. Right, this young man who's been in church all his young life, and now as a teen, he's a young adult, not going to church. His girlfriend never heard the gospel, right? They break up, and she's throwing away stuff that you know, from that relationship, right? That maybe friends that they didn't come. But she comes to the Bible and she thinks of us and she says, wait, I'm not going to throw this away. And she starts reading it. She's never read the Bible before. And she starts asking Marta questions, right? Through WhatsApp, through a messaging app. But these questions are good questions. They're like, she's going through Judges. She's angry with the children of Israel. I mean, again, remember, she's never read the Bible in her life. So we're, Marta especially, talking to her, telling her, you know, come to church and, you know, it'd be good. So fast forward, what, 3 months, 4 months? She says, okay, now I'm ready to go to church because I've finished the Bible. So it took about 3 months to read the Bible through, right? But not fast. I mean, thinking. She was going through there, and the questions that she would ask Marta, sometimes it would be like, okay, let's go and check this stuff out because this is deep stuff. She got saved, but not with us. She got saved by reading the Bible. Yeah, we did provide that Bible for her, but again, it was something that the Lord did in her life. Yeah, and she just got baptized a couple of months ago in February. Yeah, and so it's been wonderful to see how God has worked in her life. Yeah. All right. Well, I think our time is up. So thank you again for all your attention and your love and. So we'll just do the questions afterwards if you have any more. So, all right.